We're doing our Ein Yaakov. We're up to page Ein Dalet Amud Beis in the standard editions, page 148, which is in the Gemara Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Rav Chista v'Rabam Nuna v'yatve besudata. Rav Chista and Rabam Nuna sat at a meal. Aitu lekamayu tamwe v'rimoni. They brought before them dates and pomegranates. Now the verse in describing seven species says Eretz Chita us Ora. Vegefen uteina verimon, a land of wheat and barley and grapes and figs and dates. And then it says again, Eretz, a land that is blessed with zeit shemen, olives that produce oil, udvash, and honey that comes from dates. So we have seven species in the verse. And Shakal Rav Amnuna barichatam rei bereisha. Rav Amnuna took the dates and made a blessing on them first. So they're seventh in the verse. Amar le Rav Chista, so Rav Chista said to Rav Amnuna, lo savar le mar, doesn't the rabbi hold of lehadama Rav Yosef itema Rav Yitzchak, that which Rav Yosef and others said was Rav Yitzchak taught, kol amukdam bepasuk ze kodem nibracha, whatever appears earlier in the verse should take precedence for the blessing. You're going to hold one of these fruits to make a borei pri ha'etz. And it says pomegranates fifth in the verse, and it says dates seventh in the verse. So if we're honoring the fruits that the land of Israel was blessed with, you should go in the order of the blessing. It says it is a land of wheat and barley and grapes and dates. And grapes and figs and pomegranates. It is a land of olive producing oil and honey from figs, honey from dates. He said to him, yes, but dates appear number two after the second time it says it is a land that produces. The fact that the Pasuk goes back and mentions the land of Israel is indicative that, again, we're starting the count. So it says it is a land that produces olives and dates. So dates is number two from the land. Whereas pomegranates are number five, even though they're earlier in the verse, but that they have four things that precede them. They have four types of produce that are more important than them. And whereas dates are like number two on the list, because you start the list again from the mention of the land of Israel. Amale, Sir of Chista said to Rav Amnuna, Man Yavla Nagre de Pauzela Venishmeinach. Who will give us feet of metal, so that I can serve you and go after you forever to learn from you. If you have your tradition down to such a degree that you know things that take such careful analysis, so then I wish I had metal feet to always be there in your service. Okay, so here we have this halacha. In general, we say that that assumes that you have no preference. But let's say right now you feel like having a pomegranate. So enjoy your pomegranate. The halacha says you give precedence to one of the seven species. And within the verse you give precedence to the one that appears earlier in the verse. But those that appear directly following the second mention of the land of Israel, there the count starts again. It says a land of olives, so olives will come before grapes. Because grapes are number three or four on the list from the beginning of the Pasuk. And then it says, a land that produces olives. So they're number one again. And then it says, dates. So they're number two. So ordinarily, this is the order of which one you'd make the blessing over. You have to make a borei pri ha'etz. You're going to eat olives and pomegranates and grapes. Which comes first? So the olives come first. Because the olives are first after the second mention of the land of Israel. Even though you're going to eat all of them off of this blessing of borei pri ha'etz. But which one should you honor with the blessing, holding in your hand when you make the blessing? So this is only true if you have no preference. But let's say you don't want to eat olives first. You want to eat dates first. Or you want to eat pomegranates first. What you want to eat now is this. Or let's say you're a pomegranate fan. Everyone knows you love pomegranates. That's your favorite food. Right now you don't mind. You did this, you did that. So we say, there are opinions in halacha that say whenever you have a specific preference right now, that comes first. The opinions.
Olives are there and you're going to eat olives?
Correct. But what do you want to eat now? There's an opinion in Halacha that says you give preference, you give precedence to the one that's your general preference. And then there's an opinion that says you give precedence to the land of the seven species. So being that there are so many opinions in Halacha, so we say whatever you do, you're okay. You know, do what you want.
Why would this, it's divided in two. Wouldn't it make more sense to have this second half here as the first half? That the question wouldn't even seem to
right.
Arise.
That's a good question. Why did the Torah divide it that way? I don't know.
And what if you have two numbers?
Good question. So there we generally assume that the earlier one in the verse takes precedence. Right.
Is that something that you're saying just to us?
Like, no, that's what the Magen Avraham says in Shulchan Aruch.
Wait, the earlier one in the verse takes precedence?
But there's an ancient custom that some people still do, that when you come to meet your future in-laws, they put down before you cake and grapes and dates and pomegranates, and they want to see what you know and what you don't know. So there's an ancient custom, so it depends on what community you're in. In some communities, like in the United States, in the Ashkenazi community, the custom is if you're polite, you don't eat anything. In other communities, the custom is if you're polite, you eat the thing that's homemade and you compliment that. And in other communities, the custom is you show them you're a Talmud Chacham, you know to eat in the order of the seven species.
So it doesn't even have to do with
it. It has nothing to do with anything.
Wait.
Well, I could tell you an interesting story. That there used to be an ancient custom that when you come to do the Bechina of Smicha, they put before you, the rabbi who was testing you, whether you're going to be ordained rabbi, puts before you to eat. And you have to know which one to take first. So a relative of mine was being tested for smicha. I heard the story from them. I wasn't there. When he came in for the test of smicha, so he took what he wanted first. So the rabbi who was testing him said, is there no order? So he said, it's quoted based on the Rambam that if you have a preference, the preference goes first. I have a preference. I want this. So he got his smicha, but the story goes that when the Noda B'Yehuda, Rabbi Cheska Landau, came to be tested, so he was a young rabbi, and there was a lot of pressure, it was a big kehila, and when he sat down, he made a mistake, he took the wrong one. So they asked him, shouldn't you take the cake first? So he said, I don't eat cake. And from that day onward, for the rest of his life, he never ate cake. That's a story they tell. I don't know. Sure, yeah.
But I thought you did the second half.
Because no. If wheat comes first in the pasuk, right?
Yes.
Eretz chita.
Right.
So if you have wheat and you have an olive, so they're both number one after Eretz.
Okay, but the olives will take precedence over the barley. And
correct,
the grain.
Yeah.
The olives take precedence.
Because it says a land of olives. So olives is number one after the second land.
So the
they
second
take precedence.
No.
The second time it says...
Right. It doesn't take precedence over the first time of its equivalent, meaning number one and number one, so the first number one takes precedence.
Ah, so wheat isn't.
Correct. Wheat is first. Wheat is always first.
So
right.
If you have some bread and an olive, do the bread.
Bread, right. But once you make a blessing on the bread, you ain't going to make no blessing on the olive.
Yeah.
So then a better example would be cake and bread. Cake and an olive, right.
The bread is a whole different
yeah.
Right. Okay.
So, with that ancient custom, why if you turn around and says, I like pomegranates the best?
You could do what you want. But you might want to know what your future in-laws are thinking.
Could
you know?
Show up with your own food? Like, I don't like any of this stuff.
That's for sure not. That's, even though, you should know that at events, like at a wedding or a Sheva Brachos, the ancient custom was that every person brings their own meal. And in Sephardi houses, the way it was done was in a more respectable way. In Yemen and in different Sephardi cultures, when you'd come to a meal, you'd bring a basket with your own food, so they don't have to spend on you. And if you're well-to-do, you bring enough for other people too. And you say, I just brought something in honor of the family. And then they set it up and they serve every person what they brought. Like, you get to eat the meal you brought. That was the ancient custom. Okay, today it's not so common. The way it plays out today is that the Sephardim till today have a custom that when they come to a wedding, they estimate how much each portion cost, And the practice is, if you come to a wedding, if you responded that you're coming and they ordered a meal for you, you don't come to a simcha without leaving a check for the amount that the simcha cost. And because of that, among Sfardim and some Yemenites, the understanding is that the parents get all the monetary gifts that the young couple received. Because this goes back to the old custom that people would bring the meal. They'd bring the meal they ate. Today that they don't bring the meal they ate, everything's catered, people pay for the meal they ate. So it's within the concept that if I come to a meal, I got to leave a check for the amount that I ate, right, or for the amount they paid for me. And then it's like an understanding that the parents get the check because it's there to cover my meal. I didn't bring my meal. So this is a continuation of that custom. If the reason you're marrying her is to end up with the money, then we got to work on other things first. Right? Okay.